morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today, we're going to be in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And the thought for today's message is the falling away. Now, you might say, well, Joel, the falling away from what? Well, what I'm really referring to is the falling away of the true worship in spirit and truth of our Lord and Savior. Now, a lot of people think that a falling away is that people stop going to church. And that's not necessarily true, because there's a lot of places nowadays that has a form of godliness, but is denying the power thereof, if you will. And so what it amounts to is it becomes a social gathering. Now, here Paul in 2 Thessalonians is writing to the churches at Thessalonica, and he is pleading with them to be able to discern between false teaching and the teaching that he had given them. Now, as we begin looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, and this is Paul writing, it says, "Now we beseech you," or beg you, brethren, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now, he's referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's referring to, he's not referring to the rapture. He's referring to the second coming, that when Jesus will sit on the throne of David and he will rule from the throne of David. But see, he's begging them, and it says in verse 2, it says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." So what he's really saying is there is some false teaching going on to make you think that the day of Christ has already happened, and that, but we don't want you to be shaken in mind. We don't want you to be troubled, not in spirit, not in word, for there's some letters coming to you that they appear to be from me or from my group, is what Paul is saying, but they're really not. So, and it says in verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you by any means." Now, that's key here, that we let no man deceive us. So what that message is to you and I, it is of the utmost importance that we know God's word, that we can spiritually discern things, that we've gotten into the meat of God's word, where we can see the difference between good spiritual teaching and false teaching, that we can spiritually discern between, if you will, good preaching, false preaching, good prophets, if you will, and false prophets. So see, that's what Paul is really getting down to. He doesn't want these people here at Thessalonica to be deceived by the false teaching that's going on around him. And you might say, well, Joel, we don't have any false teaching. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And if you think that there's not any false teaching going on in this world today, I would pray that you really check up and really check up and to see whether you truly have good, sound spiritual discernment. Because good, sound spiritual discernment will bear witness to true teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, to true preaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be able to discern when there is false teaching and false preaching. But he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So what Paul's saying here is before the second coming of Christ, that the Antichrist will be revealed, that son of perdition. Now, we live in a time and day where the world is ripe to latch on to someone that appears to have all the answers, that appears they can fix everything that's wrong with this world today, and this world is ripe to be deceived and be led astray by someone that, like I said, appears to have all the answers. But see, the one that truly has all the answers is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that suffered and died on the cross of Calvary so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and finisher of our faith. But see, if we're not careful in today's world, we can easily be deceived. But what Paul is trying to express to the people at Thessalonica, he said, the day of Christ won't come until there's a great falling away. And like what I talked about earlier, a falling away doesn't necessarily mean that people stop going to church. But we understand that the only way for us to worship the Lord Jesus Christ is in spirit and in truth, meaning we have our sins confessed, our hearts are right with God, we are in communion with God, and we come to worship Him and worship Him only, and we are to set Him in His proper place, for there is no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. For He is worthy of all our praise. For Jesus is the one who withstood sin. He withstood all the humiliation. He withstood all these things for you and I so that we may be saved. And it is our responsibility, and it should be our first priority to know God's word and know how to rightly divide God's word. Now, it describes the son of perdition or the Antichrist in verse 4. For Paul writes, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Friends, there's going to come a day where the Antichrist is going to get this deceived world to believe that he is God. He's going to sit on the throne in the temple and believing for those first 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is a false peace, he's going to have this deceived world believing that he is God. But he's going to soon be revealed of who he truly is. But friends, in this day that we live, it is of the utmost importance that we, through prayer and through God's word, that God sheds his light on the things that oppress us. God sheds his light, that we allow God to shed his light on the things that oppress us and the things that defeat us. And we can humble ourselves before the one true and holy God so that he may give us his power through the person of the Holy Spirit so that we may overcome and not be deceived. But friends, I'm afraid a lot of us doesn't take Satan's deception as seriously as we should. For Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It doesn't matter whether it's me. It doesn't matter whether it's you. It doesn't matter who it is. As a roaring lion, he is walking about seeking whom he may devour. He is no respecter of person. He's just seeking whose lives he can destroy, whose lives he can deceive. And Satan is seeing how many people that he can bring down to the pits of hell with him. And friends, that's why it's so important to take that so seriously in our lives, because if we're not careful, our lives can become destroyed in ways that we will stop and scratch our head and think, how on earth did I get myself in this situation? And it's simply because we allowed the deception of Satan to work in our hearts. But then Paul asks a question in verse 5. After he goes over all this stuff in verses 1 through 4, Paul asks a question in verse 5. It says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" So apparently, Paul had been getting some feedback from the church at Thessalonica that there was some confusion about the day of Christ. There was some confusion about these things that Paul had been teaching them. So Paul, in his epistle, here in verse 5, he's asking the question, don't you remember that we talked about these things? And that's why it's so important that when we're in Sunday school, that when we're in the preaching hour, that we take heed. He that has an ear, let him hear. That we listen intently and we take the seed of God and let it fall into fertile ground and let it bear and allow it to bear fruit in our lives. Otherwise, if we don't, Satan is going to come. He's going to take that seed and it's going to fall on stony ground. It's going to fall amongst the thorns and it will become fruitless. It'll be choked out or it'll be stolen and we won't bear any fruit, and we're setting ourselves up to be deceived by Satan. But Paul asked the question, don't you remember? Don't you remember? I mean, you were there in body. But were you there in spirit? And that's what's so important when we attend church, that we must be prepared to be there in spirit so that we can receive the word of God and so that word can find fertile ground in our hearts and minds so that it may bear fruit and choke out Satan. Now, in verse 6, and it says, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Now, there's going to come a time that the son of perdition or the Antichrist will be revealed. But thanks be unto God, those of us that are truly born again, we're truly saved. Our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. We will be raptured out of here, and we are not appointed unto God's wrath, and we will be with him. But see, Paul is trying to get the point across to the people at Thessalonica. Do not be deceived by this false teaching. Do not be deceived by the spirit of Satan. We must be able to discern the spirit. We must be able to try the spirits and see whether they are of God. But now we go on in verse 7. And in verse 7, Paul refers to the mystery of iniquity. He says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." So Paul's saying it's already at work. And it says, "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now, verse 7, the second half of verse 7 almost sounds like a riddle. But what he's referring to is there were some government structures that would not allow this tyranny that the son of perdition is going to have on the world. But things have been changing over time, and then it will allow permission in this world for the son of perdition to have tyranny over this world and deceive everyone. So friends, if you're out there, I'm running out of time, but we must get in God's word. We must pray and we must allow him to shed his light on our lives so that we be not deceived by Satan in our life. So that's today's message. I hope there's something been said that's a help to you. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.